Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Robert Hannon. The Alaska Public Offices Commission Friday found the Republican Governors Association violated state election law. KTOO is reporting the commission said the violation occurred when the RGA reserved TV time for political advertisements without registering with the state. The commission also found that the group Families for Alaska's Future Dunleavy violated the law when it reserved TV time before it registered. The commission ordered the RGA to register with the commission. It ordered Families for Alaska's Future Dunleavy to file accurate reports, and it ordered both groups to pay fines of more than $4,000. It could adjust those penalties at the next commission meeting. The commission order was a result of a complaint by the campaign of Governor Bill Walker and Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott. The chairman of the Alaska Republican Party says he's shocked Senator Lisa Murkowski opposed the confirmation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and he's vowing the party will have a significant response. Alaska Public Media reports Tuckerman Babcock says he'll leave it to the party's State Central Committee to decide what action to take against the Republican senator. Murkowski told reporters after the vote that her opposition was based on what she thought was best for the credibility of the Supreme Court and the country, not on politics.
There are consequences, but if I were to worry every day about political repercussions or somebody saying that they're going to run against me or say something in a newspaper story, I wouldn't be able to do the job that Alaskans expect me to do.
Murkowski is also getting flack from liberals for participating in what's called a vote pair so that Republican Senator Steve Daines could stay at his daughter's wedding in Montana. Murkowski said she changed her no vote to present on Saturday to offset the yes vote that Daines would have cast if he had to fly back to Washington. The final vote was 50-48 with one present. Murkowski says her vote pair didn't affect the outcome and was a gesture towards civility she'd like to see more of in the Senate.
Every little small baby step that we can take to be more civil and more gracious and more generous with one another makes us better senators and it makes us better human beings.
Murkowski's not up for re-election until 2022. Federal grants will help two Interior Alaska Native organizations address opioid addiction and youth mental health. A total of $6.2 million from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has been awarded to Tanana Chiefs Conference and the Fairbanks Native Association. KUAC's Lex Trinan reports.
Health and Human Services officials announced the nationwide grant winners from Fairbanks on September 24th. Peria Sogiak, the Mental Health Services Director of the Fairbanks Native Association, says the grant is a big deal.
It's going to allow me to provide those services that we can't provide now.
Sogiak says the $500,000 two-year grant will allow FNA to hire three new staff.
To enhance the services we provide, transitional services for our consumers, that once you go through the outpatient program, to connect to those resources in the community, such as housing, education.
The Tanana Chiefs Conference, which serves 42 villages across the interior, is receiving a $700,000 grant to fight opioid addiction. TCC Deputy Health Services Director Marilyn Anden says the organization is uniquely positioned to provide opioid addiction treatment using prescription drugs in addition to traditional methods.
And right now, these services are offered in Fairbanks through other agencies, such as FNA. But what we're trying to focus on is the rural communities.
A third grant of $5 million was also awarded to TCC for providing youth and young adults culturally appropriate mental health care treatment. Federal HHS representatives visited several interior villages to observe healthcare administration in Alaska. Tanana Chiefs Conference General Counsel Natasha Singh traveled with the HHS officials.
It was actually an awesome eye-opener to the representatives that each village was so unique. They got to tour the village clinics. They saw examples of our electronic health record, the impacts of slow broadband on our ability to do telehealth and behavioral health.
The tour included a stop at Old Minto Family Recovery Camp, where people struggling with substance abuse live in cabins with their families and engage in subsistence activities as part of their recovery. The HHS officials also held a roundtable with the Secretary's Tribal Advisory Committee, a group of tribal representatives from around the country created during the Obama administration to advise the federal government on its trust responsibility for providing health care to tribes. Singh of TCC is also a technical advisor for the committee.
Tribes are in this administration are having to reteach, educate at every level of this, what it means to fulfill the trust relationship to tribes.
Singh said that one major issue did come up at the meeting.
They were not going to allow for waivers for tribes when they implemented the work mandate for Medicaid patients. And this, we believe, is an affront to the government-to-government relationship.
Nonetheless, Singh said there was genuine progress and interest on the part of the Washington visitors. In Fairbanks, I'm Lex Trinan.
Native students at University of Alaska Fairbanks are hosting the second observance of Indigenous Peoples Day in Fairbanks. It commemorates Native history and the impacts of European contact on Native peoples. The event started in California in 1992 and has spread to Native communities across North America as an alternative to Columbus Day. Sandra Kowalski, one of the organizers, says Indigenous Peoples Day raises awareness of the impact of colonization. But this year's focus is on wellness that overcomes that trauma.
We're here, we're strong, and we're thriving despite the trauma that's happened amongst our people. We are pulling from a strength that goes far back before the time of the colonization. We're still pulling that strength forward and making things happen for our state and our people.
A day of activities is planned on the UAF campus starting at 10 a.m. on the outdoor green space just east of the UA Museum of the North. The park is the future site of an Indigenous Studies Center. Most other activities will be in the Woods Center. Caitlin Tozier is studying mathematics and education. She's part of a panel discussion today at 11:30 on how the university can support Native students' wellness. She says it's part of the continuing dialogue about helping rural students who find Fairbanks overwhelming.
Does the university care about the needs of the students if a significant amount of the student population has grown up subsistence hunting and has that basic need, or that's a part of their regular lifestyle that they now have to change because this is the way the university is set up?
There are many cultural activities the broader community is invited to, including a film, regalia showing, storytelling, and Native dance workshops. Sandra Kowalski says there's been a resurgence of traditional tattooing among young Native women.
One of our UAF students is a traditional tattoo artist. She's going to talk about the artistry of it, the reclamation of our own sense of identity when you go through this process, and our own sense of beauty.
The tattooing workshop is at 2 o'clock. A full schedule for Indigenous Peoples Day can be found on the website uaf.edu/rural. I'm Robert Hannon.